Hello, you're about to listen to episode 40 of the Movie Mixtape, a podcast with Dirk and Marcy. This is the final film in our Warm Blanket Mixtape, and it is our friend's choice. And we are delighted to have with us this week one of the hosts of the Real Latinos podcast, Ron, who also happens to be the musical director for the Movie Mixtape. And Ron has picked a classic from 1985, The Goonies. So why don't you get a mug of hot chocolate, stick some marshmallows in there, sit back, relax, and enjoy the mix. Do run, 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 the do run, run. Hey, Marcy, how are you doing? How are you?
I'm good. I'm never ready. I'm never ready, but I'm good. How are you, Dirk?
I am good, thank you, Marcy. And I'm extra spicy good this week because we've got a special friend joining us for our final episode of the Warm Blanket Mixtape. Who is that special friend?
We have Ron here. Hi, Ron. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Happy to be here.
Hey, Ron.
Oh, so happy you're here. This is like surreal for us. So everyone probably knows you, Ron, because you write in these lovely emails all the time for us. We pick songs now every episode because of you. That was all you're doing. So welcome, Ron. And now everyone gets to meet you officially on this podcast.
Very, very excited to be here.
Yeah, the official musical director of the Movie Mixtape. Lest we forget, one of the trinity of Real Latinos. I think you're probably Batman. Is that right, Ron?
I would say that. I think that that they would agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your podcast, Real Latinos, with Ishmael and Guti. Tell us about that. What's that all about?
So the three of us take a look at Latin American films and filmmakers. We kind of feel that that part of the world tends to get overlooked when people mm-hmm. talk about filmmaking. So kind of try and shine a light. And for each of us, too, it kind of helps us get a little bit closer to the culture and background that we grew up with. And yeah, having a lot of fun with it, like having the conversation. Mm-hmm. I know both of you have been a part of the conversation in recent episodes, so yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
It's been really fun to listen to, and I really enjoyed, you guys had Dime on recently. So Dime's mm-hmm. a friend of ours from the 70mm Discord for Wakanda Forever. That was really fun, and I know you guys are working on an Andor mm-hmm. episode that I'm very much looking forward to, so that's really cool. But anything you want to talk about, like any cool upcoming things, or do you have to keep it a secret?
No, I might get reprimanded by my boss, but we're doing Andor. The Andor episode should be coming out a couple days after this episode drops. And then following that, we're going to be doing Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. And
I was going to ask. Yeah. I'm so excited for that. Oh, very cool. Oh, yeah. And that's going to be on Netflix, so everybody can mm-hmm. watch that right away and listen. Oh, that'll yep. be fun. Yeah, I was really going to ask that because there's some hype around this Pinocchio movie. It's supposedly the better of the two Pinocchio movies this year. So
I'm not going to say anything until I watch it, but I have seen the other one. And
I haven't even bothered. I'm hoping it's a lot better for you guys.
Yeah. Del Toro doesn't have very high to climb, I'll say.
Yeah. I will be very excited for that. That's definitely an end of year movie that I'm very much looking forward to. And Del Toro is like your guy. Like, well, I love Guillermo. Obviously, I think everyone. Mm-hmm. How can you not love Guillermo? So that'll be a lot of fun. Very cool. Anything yeah. else you want to talk about the show?
Well, I want to like, say something about the show. Is that all right? I was thinking about you, Marcy, when I was listening to the Black Orpheus episode. I wondered if that was maybe up your street because mm-hmm. isn't that about the Greek mythology? The Greek myth. Is it Greek
yeah.
myth? Yeah. So that's your bag, isn't
yeah,
it?
Greek mythology.
And it was, but what was it? A film from like 1960s Brazil or 1950s Brazil or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking about you might like that kind of film, but also Also, there was a little bit of chit-chat about the World Cup of Football in that at the end of that episode. And I got the opinion, Ron, that you weren't too bothered about the World Cup of Football. But let me tell you, England have just won 3-0 against Senegal. And so we're through to the quarterfinals now, playing France. So how do you like that? Yeah, nice. It's good, isn't it?
We got eliminated this weekend, so go us.
I love how you say eliminated, like you were in Gladiators or something like that. And somebody called Cobra just threw you off a wall. You got knocked out. It's called knocked out. You got knocked out of the World Cup.
Better than not qualifying like we have the last couple. So, hey, we at least made it this year. So, good on you guys.
Well done, boys.
I'm nodding and smiling.
But the other thing...
I feel right at home. It's just like I'm on my other podcast.
I'm glad.
Yeah. The two of them talk about football and I nod and smile.
We just want you to feel like you're at home. Exactly, yeah. Ron. We want you
very
to
comfortable
make you feel
with
comfortable
this.
Here.
Sit down.
Yeah. I joke that, hey, I at least know enough to call it football and not soccer. So.
Yes, correct. Oh my God. But also, Ron, not only do you not know anything about football, but you don't like Spy Kids either.
That's okay.
What?
That's
Robert Rodriguez doing his kid stuff. I love it.
I missed the boat on that one. I think like I said, I'm not the target audience. I'm not the target audience. So.
I will say, Ron, I have never wanted to watch that movie. And so then right when then. I read your review, I was like, Ron and I are on the same page here. I think that is exactly how I would feel if I tried to watch that movie.
Let me just say something to the both of you. You've just got to open your minds, yeah? If I can watch Pride and Prejudice and enjoy it, I'm pretty sure in there somewhere, Marcy, there's a spy kid wanting to get out with a gadget watch.
Well, kind of like what we're going to talk about today. So there are some kids in Spy Kids, and I remember seeing trailers and stuff, and they were pretty annoying. But luckily today we have got some kids to talk about, and they're not annoying, so that'll be really nice when we get into that later.
Well, not all of them. One of them's borderline, but...
Well, what film are we going to talk about today for our friend episode in the movie mixtape? What are we doing, Ron? This is your pick.
We are doing 1985's The Goonies, directed by Richard Donner, written by Chris Columbus. Who I believe did Adventures in Babysitting too, didn't he?
He did, and mm-hmm. he did Gremlins, yeah. didn't he? He wrote Gremlins. But Ron, you know what? You can tell you're a seasoned pro because you didn't just say what film we were doing. You told us what year it came out and who directed it. So thank you for doing my job for me.
I'm such a nerd that I think I would do that anyway, yeah. even if I didn't have a podcast.
But let me push my glasses up a little bit and say, was not written by Chris Columbus. Story was by Steven Spielberg. Okay, and Chris Columbus did the screenplay. Okay. Just want to get, establish the hierarchy here. Okay. You may know what year it came out, but I know that bit of information. Okay.
And then we can throw Did You Know the rest of the episode at him, Ron.
Well, I'm highly anticipating that. You'll get your time. I'm definitely anticipating that's going to happen because I've done no research.
Do you have your board to see who gets the most dirt?
Well, no.
I've tried to rein back a little bit on it. So.
You know what, Marcy? I've noticed that, and it's been appreciated by everyone. Everyone's appreciated it. Everyone's been texting
Ron,
me.
Ron, don't you hold back, though. Please say it as many times as you want to. Well, Ron, so this is your warm blanket pick, and I know like Dirk kind of is like, I don't remember the first time I ever saw this, blah, 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 but I want to know, do you remember the first time you ever saw The Goonies? Like, how old were you?
So yes and no. I was a year old when it came out. So it's one of those things where, like, I remember it being like omnipresent as a little kid, and then it kind of went away for a while. And then I think around the time I was like 10 or 11, I think they must have re-released it on VHS or something, because I remember my dad, I think he rented it, and he took me and my sister, and he was like, hey, like, do you guys remember this movie? And he put it on for us, and that's the first time that I remember like actually sitting down and really watching the movie. And I was about the same age as the kids in the movie. And then just since then, it's just always been there. And I can't think of a time where, Goonies hasn't been like a huge part of my consciousness, to the point where like, it's one of those things where, when you ask me what my favorite movies are, I'll list a bunch of super pretentious stuff and everything. and I will never think to say The Goonies, but when I'm watching, it's one of those, like, if I'm watching TV and it's on, like, I'm watching The Goonies. If anybody brings it up, I probably reference it, a couple times a day without knowing. I'm wearing a Goonies t-shirt right now. And it's probably one of seven that I have in my closet. So, you know, yeah, it's one of those that, like, I never think about, but, like, it's so ingrained in me that, yeah, it's just always been there.
Yeah, I think if you...
What about the two of you?
Well, I think if you took a mouth swab of me and put it under a microscope, you would see that in my DNA is the Goonies. Because, I mean, I was probably, I don't know, six or seven when it came out. So, I mean, I have had it forever and ever. And I think even just like going to university when you're 18, 19, everybody still loved the Goonies. And it's like, what film shall we just stick on? Or should we just put the Goonies on? So I think it is just throughout the passage of my life. It's always been there. I think it's always on at Christmas. It's, it's always somewhere, I think. And I think that, you sort of say you're wearing a Goonies t-shirt now. I could go out happily in the street, and I'm sure I'd bump into someone wearing a Goonies t-shirt. It's culturally important, isn't it? I think so. What about you, Marcy?
Yeah, I'm a little bit different, but I'm glad you brought up Christmas, because when I was younger, like, Ron, I don't know if you remember this or not, but some channel had it on always for Christmas Eve. Kind of like there was a while where, like, every Thanksgiving, Jurassic Park was on one channel for some reason or another. So there were a couple years in a row where, like, we would have, like, people over for Christmas Eve, and we'd have it on in the background, but you're so preoccupied with other things like opening gifts and, like, eating. So I would catch it here and there, but I never really watched the full thing until I got to college, which is, I know, is weird. But I do have a really nice story about the Goonies. So during 2020, when everything was really bad and everything was shut down, movie theaters started, you know, letting you rent a theater for, like, maybe 10 people. You all had to still wear a mask or whatever. And then you were all, like, around the theater. You didn't sit next to each other or whatever. And I just had a group of friends, and we rented it one week, and that was what we went and saw, was the Goonies. And it was just like, everything's going to be okay. We're here at the Goonies.
That's awesome.
And we're in a movie theater, and it was just a really nice experience. And then I think I mentioned this on our Ferris Bueller episode, but when I got my master's last year, and there's a drive-in theater pretty close to where I live and where my school is for where I got my master's. So they rent it out when everybody graduates, and the various classes, like master's, undergrad, etc. There's several screens at this drive-in. They get to pick what we watch. So when I graduated, we did Ferris Bueller and Goonies back to back. And that was probably one of the best drive-in experiences I've ever had in my life. So I love this movie, but I think I just came to it so much later than everybody else. But there's something so magical about this movie, even when you are older watching it. And I think it holds up even when you're older and you finally get to watch the whole thing. You're like, oh yeah, this is really cute and, like, endearing. And I love it. So I'm a little bit, like, yeah, like I said, different than Dirk said, yeah, of course you are with this movie. But it still has an impact on me. It's just, I came to it much
later. But of course you're going to remember the first time you probably saw it when you were, like, 21, as opposed to six. When I was six, I couldn't remember how to tie a shoelace or what I'd had for my breakfast. So I'm never going to remember the first time I watched the Goonies. But I think it's just that, not the first time, but just, it was just, I don't know, maybe this and Ghostbusters, we watched at, like, kids' birthday parties as well, and it's not like when was the first time you watched it. It was probably more like a competition of how many times have you watched it in the last 12 months. It was so frequent. So do you want me to do the synopsis now?
I would love to hear your synopsis.
Well, don't get your hopes up. I was saying to Marcy just before we came on, I accidentally deleted it when I was sat so I had to kind of remember what I was going to do. Not that it isn't all off the top of my head, of course, but oh, my, Jiminy Cricket. It was a bit of a nightmare. So, yeah, here is the synopsis to Ron's warm blanket movie, The Goonies, from 1985. We've got to go back. Back to a time when shorts over joggers was a keen look. Back to a time when piano lessons could save a life. Back to a time when being a Goonie meant you never died. I want to tell you a story of four who became seven, who became so much more. But I don't feel that I could personally do this tale justice, for it is an adventure so epic that it would make even Michael Jackson need to use your bathroom, or at the very least his sister.
No!
For this we need an orator of renown and fame, someone like Barack Obama, or Winston Churchill, or even, yes, even Ric Flair. Woo! But this isn't Dune Pod, and famous people don't listen to the movie mixtape. So instead, we go to who we know, and we know the Goonies. Joining us now, direct from the pizza parlor, is legendary Goonie and star of the movie, Chunk. Chunk, I wonder if you would be so gracious as to explain the plot of the film.
Okay. So I didn't mean to drop the statue, but then his penis fell off and Mikey stuck it back on upside down, but it looked fine to me. And then we went up to Mikey's loft and he had all this cool stuff, but I dropped this picture. It's fine though, because we found a secret map to the treasure of a pirate called One-Eyed Willy. One-Eyed Willy kind of sounds like a penis too. Everyone wants to go get the treasure so we don't have to sell our homes and move to Detroit because Troy's dad is going to build a white guy's golf course over our broken family dreams. We follow the map to a restaurant, but it doesn't even look like it serves French fries. And this old lady is there. She says she's going to cut out Mouth's tongue because, you know, he talks a lot and he's kind of annoying. The guys manage to find some secret tunnel to go look for the gold, but I don't run so good. My mum says I have short legs. It's not my fault. So I get caught by the old lady and her two kids who are this crime family called the Fratellis. They lock me up with their other son in the basement while they go looking for the jewels and... Okay. Thanks, Chunk. I think we can leave it there and let's say that hijinks ensue as the Goonies are on the hunt for the treasure whilst they too are being hunted by the Fratellis. And I get trapped in a freezer with a dead guy. Thanks, Chunk. The Goonies.
Well done.
Thank you. There we go. That is the synopsis of the film.
Can't believe you got Chunk.
Chunk, I know. just lives around the corner. He only lives...
Very impressive.
We play marbles together.
I didn't know he lived in the
Ron,
UK.
Ron.
Wow.
Blessed Ron. This was your warm blanket choice, and we've kind of taken some time to explain why we've picked our warm blanket movies. Why don't you tell us specifically, like... why this is a warm blanket. I know we've had like stories about how when we first watched it and growing up with it, but what is it that makes it like that comfort movie now as a grown up, as an older man?
So there are a few things. There's one, just you know, it takes place in Oregon. It's a very rainy movie, and that's one of the things that I think about when I think about a warm blanket. You know, like it's a rainy day, maybe you're not feeling so hot, and so you want to just like curl up on the couch, maybe with your cat in your lap, and you know, throw something familiar on. But the main thing when you two were talking about warm blankets, it got me thinking about found family and communities, and the two of us, and I imagine a lot of your listeners are a part of a very specific community. And so to me, the Goonies is all about, it's about friendship, and it's about, you know, like what friends do for one another. And the way that I think the characters in this movie feel about each other is the way that I feel about the two of you and a lot of the people that are listening to this right now. So it kind of just seemed like a given to me because, you know, we're all kind of outcasts together in certain respects. Mm. And, you know, when those people find each other, it's a really special thing. So. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why it's a warm blanket for me.
Ron, we're going to keep a count on how many times you make my eyes well up. So just let you know. Great. I love that. Yeah. And it is kind of funny. Like that is how we all kind of found each other. Like we are all Goonies in our mm-hmm. in our own way here. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Well, Ron just gut punched already.
You're pushing Marcy's buttons there as soon as you say found family, you know? That is one of her weak spots.
You had me at cat in your lap. Yes.
But kind of taking you up on that a little bit, Ron, I totally agree that it's not just the fact that there's the Goonies, there's the four Goonies, we, you know, Mikey, mm-hmm. Data, Chunk and Mouth. By the end of it, we have this huge sort of gang, don't we? I think mm-hmm. I think Brand and Andy and Martha and even One-Eyed Willy, you know, they become Goonies, don't they? And I just...
Sloth,
yeah, absolutely. And so what... I just love how it's just this inclusive group. And it's like, it don't matter who you are, so long as you've kind of got something in your heart and soul and you look out for each other, then you can be a Goonie. You can be a Goonie. And I think we all watched it probably... Well, we're certainly watching it as a kid, and you see yourself on there, don't you? You do see yourself up there on the screen, and feel like this is probably a gang I can be part of. This is probably something I could be in if we were at the school together. I think I'd be a Goonie, and I love that.
That's
about
so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny that you say that, because when I was watching it this time, I watched it just before we got on. I've seen it so many times that I was even thinking, oh, like, I don't really need to watch it. I've seen it so many times.
I saw that.
But I watched it just before we got on this time. This is the first time I'm watching it since being a part of this community that we're a part of. And I was very specifically thinking about, like, you know, we're all of different ages. I think, like, I'm about in the middle of the two of you. But I was, you know, you're both familiar with Star Trek, I believe.
Correct.
Mentioned a couple of times.
Do you know the Next Generation episode where they all get de-aged and they're all kids at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was this time, I was watching and I was thinking about what it would be like if all of us from, like, the 47 Discords that we're in together, we're all kids, like, the same age at the same time going on an adventure like this. And I'm thinking about, like, Dale and Slim, like, leading us through the forest. Like, come on, guys, let's go. And, like, you know, Ty and Danny bickering the whole time and pushing each other. Oh, and Bex getting between them. And Kablasto, like the kid in Super 8, just, like, constantly throwing fireworks. And Yoli, like, the cool chick with the combat boots and the leather jacket, like, confiscating them. And Trainer kind of taking up the rear, being like, oh, guys, I'm not sure if we should be out here. Like, and so I was thinking, like, what Goonie would I be? Like, what Goonie would the two of you be? Like, who do you identify most with in the cast?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. That just made me laugh so hard. That's, like, so perfect. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like when I was little, I was, like, Mouth, where I just, like, said whatever and didn't care. And, like, I mean, that's most kids, though, but you kind of hope you're a little bit like Mikey, like the optimistic person, but you're really not. But then you're Chunk and you're, like, just kind of, like, you know, getting pushed around and scared of everything and just want to eat ice cream, you know? So like, Data's adorable. Like, I don't know. Like, so maybe, like, a little bit of everybody, if you combine them all.
What a cheat of, like, an answer. What a cheat of an answer.
No, but.
Asked an honest question.
I don't want to be Andy. I'll just tell you that right now. I definitely don't want to be Andy. I don't relate to Andy very
much. Oh, that's a bit harsh on
Andy. Okay, maybe Martha. Wait, because I did have this thought, and I have this thought sometimes when I watch, like, apocalypse movies. So I wear contacts and I wear glasses. Oh. And I'm always like, man, if this all were to, like, a zombie apocalypse or something, what do you do? Because you're running, and if you have your glasses on, you're going to lose them, right? And then, like, you know, if you're wearing contacts, eventually you're going to have to take them out, and then you're not going to be able to see. So the fact that she loses her glasses, this is, like, the only time I can think of a movie where, like, somebody that wears glasses actually loses them and is having trouble getting around because they lose. So that is representation that we need more of, because it's so real and true. So maybe I'm most like Martha. Maybe
I can see you as a Martha.
That is my
definitely. Goonie. We did. Oh, great, not in a bad way. you and also we lost the glasses in a previous Warm Blanket in Adventures in Babysitting as well, didn't we? But I digress. Mm-hmm. Ron, I think, you know what? I can't see how you can watch this movie and not have serious aspirations to just want to be Data. How could you not want to be Data the whole time? I'm watching it as this kid and going, I'd love to make inventions like this. This was, do people really make inventions like this? Every single time I watch it, I just wish I was Data. When he goes on his little rant at the end, when he falls through the roof in the pirate boat, and he's going, nobody likes my inventions. Everybody's ignoring my inventions. I'm like, oh, bless you, Data, I'm not. I am right here for you. I think he's my favorite. And whether I'm not like Data because I can't make inventions, but I don't know. I'd probably be more like Mikey the plain one with no real qualities apart from being a dreamer who just wants to kind of have adventures. But I don't know. What about you, Ron?
I mean, I've got Mikey's asthma.
Sure. But, me too.
Yeah, I would like to be, like, the lead kid, but if I'm really being honest, if we were really in that situation, I would be the brand. Because, mentioned to you guys, I'm the oldest of seven kids, so my default is slightly irritated pretty much all the time. So as much as I love, like, going on adventures, if I were really in that situation, having to, like, look out for everyone, I would definitely be the, like, okay, come on, we need to go home now.
Oh my gosh.
Your pecs are spectacular as well.
Well, I don't know about that, but
they are for everybody at home.
Ron, I love that you brought up that, like, what if we, like, we're all the same age and, like, doing this together, because what I think I love most about this movie is that Imagine being that age with your best friends and going on an adventure like that. That's what's so cool. Like, I mean, yeah, like if I don't know, I would have lost my mind, like just doing anything. Like, I think the closest thing I got to anything like this when I was little was like mini golf, because this movie always makes me think of mini golf because it looks like a mini golf. Like, you know, like when you like you go on vacation and it's like the pirate ship and stuff like that. But it's just, there's something like, this would have been the coolest thing ever at that age. Like, I'm sure these kids had so much fun filming this movie. And for them, because they're all pretty young when they filmed this, like, how real it must have felt. Like, because that was back in the day when, like, sets were actually built. And, like, you know, it's just, there's something so whimsical about all of that. And that, and then having that sense of adventure still, and not wanting to quit and keep pushing forward. That's what I really love about this movie, is there's just that magical touch with all of that adventure and well, everything. But so kind of similar to like what
I'm
you were
glad,
saying.
I'm glad you reassured me, Marcy, because I, you know, growing up in the UK, I see these films and I just think every kid in America must be having these kind of adventures. Whereas I can barely, you know, walk to the park without my mum taking me or something. But when you see them all on their bikes, you're all on their bikes. Chunk especially has got one with a little flag. I love it. Like, that is the dream. That is every kid's dream, to be in a gang of your friends just riding around on your bikes, just having adventures. And I think when they all set off in this on their bikes, I had like this kind of, I don't know, I'd reached nirvana. I was like, this is it. This is what life should be about, hanging about on your wheels with your mates.
That's such a gorgeous crane shot too, when they first walk out of the house and then it lifts up as they ride down the hill.
Oh, I love
You kind of wonder like if Spielberg had input on that. Like, hey, maybe we should.
Well, Richard Donner's a pretty good director, Marcy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Yeah, he really is though. Yeah.
Did you know?
I take issue.
Superman.
Oh, Dirk has a did you know?
Did you know?
Yeah, he did. And you can tell the Fratellis definitely inspired Lethal Weapon later. So, no, I'm just kidding. But Donner definitely was a really great director. I think he just passed away last year too, right? Yeah. So definitely a great filmography. But I just I don't know if any of you are familiar with Joanna Robinson. She is a podcaster and a writer, but she says like her favorite genre is kids on bikes, and that just made me laugh. Like
but do you know, it's such a real genre, isn't it? Absolutely. You just think about like E.T. Think about, you know, obviously being homage with Stranger Things. More recently, Paper Girls, straight to my soul there, Ron. But I've got a game on the Switch for me and Bets. I think it's called Bikes and Nights, where you're just two girls on your bike riding around doing adventures and stuff. It's such a good trope. Because I think it's so heartwarming. It warms the cockles, doesn't it?
Did either of you get into too much mischief when you were about that age?
Nah, I'm not look at me, my face.
I mean, my parents definitely left me alone at that age, but I was just like, yeah, whatever, I'm just gonna stay home. I wasn't like going and doing anything crazy like that, or you know, too much of a coward, probably.
But this is the kind of upbeat misadventure, isn't it, that you all want to have? You don't want to have the kind of misadventure that they have in, like, Stand By Me after finding a dead body or something. You know what I mean? It's like, those are the two sides to it, and I would much rather have the Goonies type of adventure. Although pretty dark stuff happens in this film, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, it does.
I mean, it starts off really dark. I mean, there's a guy pretending to hang himself in the beginning.
That's it. There's a fake hanging at the beginning.
Yeah.
And like, I love how like they try and lighten the mood of all these kind of really dark bits with like the score, with like the soundtrack that's been boop, 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 boop. Some guy's killing himself.
It's all very whimsical every time they find a dead body.
Yeah.
I'm Ron, you might know, but I can't think off the top of my head who did the score for this, but I definitely got some John Williams hints and vibes from this. I definitely feel like E.T. obviously had a big influence on this.
Dave Grusin, who I'm not familiar with.
I'm not familiar with them either, so...
Oh, they did this. It's a bit like an Adventures in Babysitting, because I think we said in that little bit, who is this movie for? Like, it's for kids, but there's some elements in, like, that's surely not in a kids' film. And a bit like that in The Goonies, isn't it? And I think pairing my warm blanket with yours, Ron, I think that is part of the reason why when you watch this film as a kid, there's a little bit like, oh my gosh, like, this seems... This is not necessarily like, I don't know, Flight of the Navigator or something, which I also love, but it's like got a little bit more to it It's pushing where a kid's film maybe can be. You know, the kids are being chased by some people who we see murder. We see that they've murdered mm-hmm. people. We don't see the murder, but we know they've killed people. You know, it's pretty dark at times in that way.
Yeah, it's a kid's movie, but it's not dumbed down like you would expect a kid's movie mm-hmm. to be. And there's definitely a lot of stuff, you know, for the parents too. Like, they're watching it this time, I was very struck by how much sexual innuendo is in this movie, and a lot of like inappropriate stuff that flew way over my head when I was 10 years old. So, and also the amount of profanity, like they swore a lot in kids' movies in the 80s too.
Yes.
So, which the one thing about that I think is funny is Kequan Data, his mom said, "I don't care what's in the script, you're not going to swear." So there's a part where the rocks are falling and he's spelling out four-letter words so he could get away with it so his mom wouldn't get mad.
Oh my gosh.
There's a sex torture dungeon and drawers full of cocaine.
Of cocaine and heroin, yeah.
I think on the TV edit, they removed the subtitles over here and just let Mouth do his thing, but they just removed the subtitles explaining what he's saying.
I think the 80s just the best. Was its own really mm-hmm. special decade. Like, there's nothing else quite like it when you look back on these movies.
For better or worse, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely there's something, definitely unique and charming about 80s movies. And yeah, I was not alive for that decade, as I was telling you both. Like, I was like, I don't know if I could survive during it, but it is fun looking back on it, and you're like, what a different time that was. So I have a question for both of you, because I kind of hinted at it earlier, but I truly believe this is the best group of child actors in a movie. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were, if you agreed with that or not. Like, I actually Mouth doesn't even bother me in this movie. Andy's a little bit like of the, like the pretty girl, like, oh no, like I should have just let him like look down my shirt, oh my gosh, like oh, like when she's like freaking out in the cave, but then she's really sweet and funny and cute and too. But I just wanted to know what you guys thought, if you thought this was like maybe the best group of kid actors in a movie ever.
Yeah, I think even some like Cary Grant, Andy, like her performance I actually really like. Mm-hmm. One thing that stands out to me about this movie is how underdeveloped her character is. I wish that they would let the girls do a little bit more and have them take a little bit more center stage. I mean, Andy gets her piano moment, but I do wish that they would have made her less of a damsel in distress at the end. But but Steph punches out Mama Fratelli before they jump off the plank. Jeff Cohen as Chunk is, I would argue, the greatest child actor performance of all time. In which too, like, a lot of his performance was just ad-libbed on the spot and they left it in because there was a lot of ad-libbing and improv in this. Like the bits where Mikey would mispronounce something and someone, usually Data, would call him on it and he's like, "That's what I said." That's actually something that Sean Astin, Ke Kwan, like, they developed that.
Oh wow.
And, oh my gosh,
and they let it be a recurring really joke in the movie. So yeah, the kids were like,
it worked so well.
Really, yeah. Oh, wow. And I think it's part of it's because they like they had them all hang out for such a long time before they actually started doing
That's
the movie.
Smart.
So they had a real bond, except for Corey Feldman and Martha Plimpton, because like their back and forth in the movie was very realistic, because Martha Plimpton, like, he drove her crazy on the set to the point where
I could see that.
Yeah, in the commentary, she tells a story, and they're cool because like he's there, so like they've made peace with it as adults. But she tells a story about he was so annoying to her that at one point they were like in the little school area that they were doing their homework in, and she tackled him and started like beating him over the head with her typewriter because he wouldn't leave her alone.
Oh my gosh.
But,
oh my gosh.
But Donner used that, and like it definitely like that chemistry comes off on screen.
Yeah.
Same thing with Sean Astin and Josh Brolin. Like, I totally believe that they're brothers. They have a real genuine relationship like that.
And warmth though as well, don't they? Warmth with each other. I think like that probably is that bit where he kind of grabs him in a headlock and sort of drags him, and it's kind of like both loving and physically abusive at the same time. It's like, that is you're a big brother, mate.
Only the way an older brother can do.
Well, I think, like, looking back at this time, I think Corey Feldman's the biggest actor in this movie, right? At that time, maybe Key, Because of Temple of Doom, but mm-hmm. I think Corey would have been in more things before.
Yeah, and it's
this that
yeah.
like
he was just so about kinda... to blow up. He had done Gremlins, and then yeah, okay. right after that is when
was he is, did when Stand was Stand by Me.
I think Stand by Me was right.
Okay,
after
so it's that. Okay, okay.
But it's strange yeah, because so... you don't hear any stories about Corey Feldman being hard to deal with. You, that's unusual. I think what was I going to say? I think that what were we talking about? You asked if they were the best group of child actors. I think that's kind of to sort of answer. I think they've got absolute chemistry with each other, haven't they? They're the I think maybe the best group if you take individual. I think like Mouth is playing a 38-year-old man, isn't he? He feels like he is inhabiting. He's a young guy. He's like a working man in a young kid's body or something like that. And how did he get so good at Spanish? Mm-hmm. How did he get so good at Spanish when he's like 7 years old? How old are they supposed to be, Marcy?
I have no idea how old they're supposed to be. Probably like 10, 11, right? Right, Ron? How old
yeah,
are they
I think so, about, yeah.
And how old's okay. Martha?
So that was the thing that I couldn't peg.
Yeah, that's always...
If Bran's supposed to be 16, yeah. Like, yeah, so maybe she's like 14? I don't know.
That's always struck me as suspicious, but we'll...
There definitely is like a huge... It feels like a huge... There's a bigger age gap than there is supposed to be between the three older Goonies and the four younger ones. Like, the four younger boys definitely look... What, like the 10, 11, 12 age, maybe. Mm-hmm. But no offense, Josh Brolin looks a lot older than I think what he's supposed to yeah. be in this. And the two girls also look a little, like, they look like maybe they're about to go to college and then they're stuck with these, like, 11, 12 year olds, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But I think they're like 14 to, they have to be at least 16 because Bran didn't yes. get his driver's mm-hmm. license. So they have to
yes,
be at least
yes,
that.
That's true. That's
around
true.
That age. So.
But Marcy, yeah. what
and I think the kids are about 12 because Chunk mentions okay. he goes through third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and that's where he stopped. And so you're about 11.
Oh,
in fifth grade,
so you translate that bit okay. for me. One of my favorite Chunk bits is when just after he's done the truffle shuffle and they've unleashed the mechanism to open the gate, and he has this kind of Pavlovian reflex to the ball being dropped, and he just immediately stops and he's there waiting like an uh-huh. he's anticipating like a dog waiting for you to come in from your day at work to just the gate to be open. I think you're right. Ron, it's absolutely one of the best child performances mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say it now, Chunk is my favorite of all of them, and then Data's like second, obviously, mm-hmm. and then maybe Mikey, because Mikey's so sweet. Mikey gives yeah. the best speeches, yeah. in this, but their Chunk is just. I mean, like I even in college, people had posters of Chunk in their room, mm-hmm. like. I don't know. One of my favorite things in this movie is, you know, he's with the Fratellis and they're trying to get him to talk and tell them all this stuff. And they're like, well, tell us everything. And he just goes through his yeah. whole life about everything he's ever done wrong. And there's just such an innocence about Chunk. Like, you just gotta love him. He's so, I don't know. He's so funny, but
I like
so
how
good.
He breaks like, immediately. Immediately. Uh-huh. Just there's no delay. It's like, oh yeah, they've gone hunting for some treasure for a pirate called One-Eyed Willy. So is that one of your favorite bits, that then, Marcy, the Chunk interrogation scene?
Yeah, I love that. Those tomatoes don't look real. Those always look off to me when they're like throwing them in the blender. I don't know. But just Chunk, him and Sloth yeah. together. I feel bad that Chunk gets left behind, but then you need him for
yeah,
the Sloth.
Me too. I always feel like a little bit yeah. sad for him that he doesn't get to go on that mm-hmm. big adventure. It was like, I think mm-hmm. there was, not to digress and be very old and British, but there was this episode of Doctor Who years and years ago where they got all the old doctors together, and one of the doctors got his scarf trapped in the door and he couldn't go on the adventure because his scarf was trapped on the door. I'm like, mate, how disappointing for you. And I feel the same for Chunk. Like, he doesn't get to do any of the cool stuff, really, does he? Mm-hmm. He's dead. He feels like his fingers are going to get blended.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, you feel bad for him. Because I was thinking the same thing watching it. Like, oh, you know, like, all these kids mm-hmm. get to go on this adventure except this one. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. he's kind of the hero. Because yeah. without him,
yeah.
like, he befriends Sloth and they save the day at the end mm-hmm. With the Superman reference. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
you know, yeah, he's, you know, he's the one that yeah. saves everybody. And he's the one that calls the yeah, cops. And the cops calls, you know, the cops yeah. like, oh, is that you again? Making his Gremlins reference.
Just, yeah.
It is really funny, though, that it's like, you know, he is not on the main adventure, but I think Chunk is the overall favorite and the one mm-hmm. that stands out the most out of everybody in this movie. And it just shows, like, how great this kid is in this movie, you know, and also just like when he escapes to go get the police in the first place and is not paying attention and that car pulls over and he's like, oh, there's these Fratellis and they're like really ugly and blah, blah, blah. And then it ends up.
And beautiful. You know, that I love moment that. Is beautiful.
When, I love that.
What's he called? Jake, that Fratelli. I think that's Jake, is it? He turns on the inside light of the car just so that you can see his face in the...
Just for dramatic effect. Yeah. The guy that sings opera turning on a light for dramatic effect. Yeah.
It's so good. I love it. But Ron, what about any big scenes for you that you want to get to?
The one that always stands out to me is... Well, okay. So there are two for me because one of them is like a... Sorry, Dirk, I'm going to say the words. A did you know moment. Because
that's one to you, Ron?
I've read the original screenplay, and there is a big subplot in the original screenplay that was completely cut out of the movie. And apparently they shot some of it. Apparently Steven Spielberg directed all the sequences for it. And for whatever reason, Richard Donner cut it out. So the part where they're messing with all the pipes underground, and they screw with the country club.
Yeah.
So during that part, and I don't know if either of you have heard this before, but during that part, there was supposed to be a sequence where they mess with pipes at a zoo. There's supposed to be a zoo nearby.
Oh my
Mama Fratelli even mentions it because that's where she gets the sloth's chains from. So during that part, there were gorillas that were supposed to escape and steal a golf cart from the country club and then steal Troy's car.
Oh.
And there was going to be a whole subplot of these two gorillas driving all over town in Troy's car and the cops chasing them. And Spielberg even shot a bunch of it. Donner didn't want to. So Spielberg's like, I'm going to shoot it then because he really wanted it in the movie. And they had guys in gorilla costumes and everything. And the rumor is that Donner, because initially the movie was going to end at the Walsh house and Rosalita was going to be doing the laundry and that's where she was going to find the jewels. And then the gorillas were going to show up at the front of the house with the cops behind them. And Donner changed it to the scene on the beach, like some of the crew have joked that he did that so he could cut out that whole subplot with the gorillas because he didn't like it.
Oh my gosh.
But so now every time I see that scene with the pipes, I think about the gorillas and what could have been. Because you can still see.
Oh my gosh.
Nobody's ever really seen the footage. Spielberg's got it locked away somewhere. But every now and then, like, you'll see a production still of a guy in a gorilla suit or something like that. And, you know, the Goonies that could have been.
You know what? That's amazing. Like, I'm sorry. It's just, you know what it made me think of is, like, the kind of subplot in Ferris Bueller with the parking lot attendants.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But it would be, like, the gorillas in a golf cart. Mm-hmm. Just, it's kind of almost the same thing. Like, and that's, like, one of my favorite parts of Ferris Bueller. So, I'm kind of sad that we didn't get any of that.
That scene with the pipes, I always think, why is that scene in there? Because it just, is it in there just for like jokes or what? Because it doesn't seem to make any sense, like at all.
Yeah, it doesn't really have any bearing on the plot.
No.
Yeah.
And I also think like banging on some pipes, I'm not sure it would cause all of them shower nozzles to implode on themselves and for Troy to get shot up in the air.
Yeah.
I always think, what is that in there? And you've just unveiled it to me brain. Thanks for that, Ron. I'll sleep a bit better now. Thanks.
Yeah, so but my real one is Mikey's monologue. When they have the opportunity to go back and Mikey's like, you know, Chester Copperpot didn't even get this far. And like when he's saying the stuff about like, you know, when the sun comes up, it's gonna be over some other town and now it's our time and Marcy tears up and you know, and like they decide to push on, and that's the one that means the most to me because I said, it's one of those things about, you know, the togetherness and the friendship and the found family and these you know, this group of people that have found each other and they're going to go through this together because Goonies never say die.
Yes, I think that scene is so complex. That's absolutely always my favorite scene, the scene in the well, because it slows down, right? It's frantic. This film is frantic. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks over each other. Everybody's doing, you know, everybody's doing something in a scene. Nobody's just taking a chill pill. But when they go in the well and they walk through the water, it really does slow down. And it's like that moment when they choose to go on the adventure rather than kind of stumbling to go on it. Mm-hmm. But it's, as well as Mikey's monologue, I really love, that's my favorite bit is mouth, what he says when he's in there. And it's one of the things that always
The coin, I think, you mean?
That's like maybe my favorite quote from the movie when I think it's either Martha says you can't take those coins, they're somebody's wishes.
Yeah, they're someone's wish.
Yeah, and so he holds it up, he goes, yeah, well, this was my wish and it didn't come true, so I'm taking it back. I'm taking it all back. And I said, that's so powerful. That is so powerful, wanting to try and kind of regain control of some aspects of their life, because it feels like this film is tipped on childhood ending. You know, the threat of white guy capitalism looms large, and that's going to split up the Goonies, and that'll end childhood. And it's about making an active choice against that, and kind of saying, I'm not quite ready to be a grown up just yet, and doing something about it. I think it's powerful, genuinely powerful in this film about a pirate called One Eye Willie.
Yeah, also, it's like, this movie isn't about, like, we're going to go find treasure so we can be rich. It's about, really, we're going to go find treasure to save our friendship so we don't all have to move to different places and lose our homes. And that's what sparks everything. And just like, hey, we can do this. We can save our town. And there's just something really beautiful in that. And just, it's just how powerful their friendship is, that they're all willing to go, you know, into this crazy gross restaurant, go down that fireplace and then all this other stuff, you know, just to try to find this treasure. And I don't know. There's something about all of them too. Like, why I think this is the best group of child actors. Like how you were saying, Ron, like, and I didn't know this, that they spent a lot of time together before filming, but it all feels genuine. Like they all feel like real friends. It doesn't feel forced at all to me every time I watch
it. It's a bit like what we saw in One Cut of the Dead when we did that. And again, I think we sort of said found family in that film a little bit, because they all hung out together, and that was the director's very specific decision. He wanted these people to hang out. He wanted them to go out drinking together and learn and just be friends. It just really shows, doesn't it, here, that they you could believe that they are friends, the Goonies. And how about Troy and his mates just hanging out by the well at the top, just being absolutely swell guys, but not recognizing when there isn't an actual live human in the bucket that they're pulling up. Rather than just a coat. I mean, come on, guys. I don't know how much you bench, but I'm pretty sure you can tell the difference between a Andy and her jacket being pulled up on the bucket.
And then if we're gonna the talk greatest about, line oh, reading yeah, go, in cinema yeah. history.
Oh. Andy, you goonie! Like, oh my gosh, so good. Well, if we're talking about, like, funny things that just, like, are like, wait, what? Like, we have to mention, you know, when Sloth and Chunk eventually do find the group on the pirate ship and everything. There's this infamous scene with Sloth going down the flag with Chunk on his back, but it is like the worst dummy work ever in the history of cinema. He looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid on his back. Ever since that's been brought to my attention, it's just like, I can't help but laugh that whole scene where
I have never noticed that in my entire life, because really? I'm so emotionally invested in what is happening. And that's the difference maybe between us. Because I've never noticed that.
That's what I said. As soon as it is brought to your attention, you cannot
Good job, I still don't know.
I know. So those are your two big ones. But like, is there anything else about this movie? Like any other scenes? Or, like, anything, like, any characters you want to talk about a little bit more?
I mean, the Fratelli brothers, I have grown to love quite a bit. Joey Pants, yeah. And talking about the behind the scenes of the movie, too. So, Robert Davi was definitely, like, an older brother to Joey Pants in that he was constantly pranking him on the set.
Oh my gosh.
And again, Donner was like, use that. And yeah, because Joe Pantoliano, like he was kind of outraged quite a bit. Like Robert Davi would like nail his door shut to his dressing room and things like that. And so, but that's another one of those things. It comes off on the screen like you believe that they're brothers and they bicker all the time and stuff. And just the little bits about we were going to use the money to, I think he says fix your teeth, but we bought Francis a toupee. Yeah. And he's like, I don't wear a hairpiece, even though it's already fallen off before in the movie. And there's just all the little things about, like, when they're fighting over the pepperoni pizza and they pull guns on each other and so it's like, you know, it's sibling rivalry to like the nth degree, like as far as it can possibly go.
They kind of, in the way, like those two and their mom, in a way, they kind of remind me of the Three Stooges. I don't know how to explain it better, but it's just like their physical humor in this, especially like when they're crossing that log bridge and Data's like slippy shoes or whatever they're called, and then like them trying to cross after that. The mom is definitely very scary but also very good, and I think she feels like a mom like to these two as well, like a very intimidating mom that they just want to please and make happy and everything.
Yeah, Anne Ramsey's scary in this movie. Like, even as an adult, she makes me uncomfortable.
I think
like,
you definitely...
When she brings him the water and...
Oh, yeah. You definitely throw her from the train. That's for sure. I don't even know what that war... Every single time I see that war, I'm like, what is that supposed to be? Is it like some kind of terrible bourbon? What is it? I love...
It's like well
water. I love how the Fratellis, for some reason, just decide to play along that they're working in a restaurant when the Goonies show up. Mm-hmm. Rather than just going, get out of here... They're acting like, yeah, what do you want? I'll make you something. Like, what are you what are you doing? Don't offer to make them some food when you've got two dead bodies in the building. Get them out of there! Two dead bodies in the building and another son chained up in the basement.
Another thing that always cracks me up, too, is when they do catch up to them all on the pirate ship and she's taking all the treasure and Mouth is, like, not talking. And she's like, listen, I know you are the talker. What's going on here? And then she pulls out the pearl necklace, and I don't know, that just always makes
that string of pearls is so long too, like,
yeah,
doctor's assistant that had to like coil those up and shove them in Corey Feldman's
Oh, it's so funny though.
I picked up this time, which I never knew before, I hadn't paid attention enough, was that the reason they had all that stuff in Mikey's loft was because the dad works at the museum. I don't know why I'd never even picked up on that. Like, he was the assistant curator of the local museum or something. And so he had all that cool stuff in his loft. I don't know. I never even realized that.
So now
I know. I think the other thing I really love is just the fashion in general. Like, Mikey's got his double denim on. You know,
and his Velcro shoes.
Oh yeah, Chunk is wearing a Hawaiian shirt with like check pants. Mouth's got his Purple Rain t-shirt on, and Bran's wearing shorts over his jogging pants. I mean, come on,
and that bandana.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Where is the Oscar for costume design?
I really do love Josh Brolin in this, though. Too, it's so crazy. It's just I can't imagine like watching this or being a part of this, and then all these years later, you're like, all these people are very famous. Well, not all of them, but like a majority, more than most movies with like kids, like they're very famous, and it's just crazy the careers some of them had. And like, he is so big right now, and like we were just talking about him last week, and you know, there's all this Oscar buzz around Key right now for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and it's like speaking of Key and Data, I want to talk about the thing that always makes me cry in this movie, and it is on the beach, and it's when Data's dad's trying to take a picture and the camera comes out like his invention or whatever, but I don't know, it doesn't work or whatever, and Data's like, ah, oh, dad, like, you can't hug a picture or whatever, and he's like, you're my best invention ever. That just every time I'm like, oh, we didn't even like need that. We didn't even see his dad before or anything, but it's just always this like, I love that beach scene because you just see how much these parents love their kids, and they're like, we didn't, like, they think they still think they didn't save the day yet, and they're like, you're safe, that's like all we care about, and it's just this really like beautiful, like genuine like family moment. Like, even Steph being like, I lost my glasses, and like they're like, it's okay, you're home, and like just all seeing them all interact with their parents is
even
really
Mouth's
cute.
Parents, because I kind of, if any of them came from a broken home, Mouth was the one coming from a broken home, but he's like, it was like you say, every single one of them was just so rushing towards them and giving them a hug, and nobody was like, you know that thing like when you're a kid and you did something and you really hurt yourself and your parents would rush over and check you're okay, but then just go, what were you doing? You know? And I definitely do that with my kids, like 100% when they've just smashed their head against something, a very quick, are you conscious? Okay, what is going on? You know, but there was none of that. It was just all like embraces. I don't know if Chunk's parents know that Sloth is now moving into their house.
Right.
That, okay, wait, we have to talk about this because, like, I know it's supposed to be a very genuine moment, but it just always makes me die from laughing where, you're going to live with me now. Like, okay. Like, you know, didn't ask anybody. But the way he delivers, it is so sincere, But it just always just like, hey, buddy, you're yeah. gonna come live with me. Like, it just always makes me laugh so hard because I just love Chunks.
Chunks got so much conviction that, yeah, like, I'm sure that his parents would give him whatever he wanted, especially after the 24-hour period that they just had. Marcy talking about the scene with Data and his family. One, I think, I don't know about the dad, but I'm pretty sure that that's Key's actual mom and sister. Mm.
Oh really? And oh, that's cool.
I didn't notice it until this watch, but I never picked up that Data lives next door to the Walshes, and that's mm-hmm. why he does yeah. the thing.
And Brand steals the bike.
And, yeah, I didn't realize that was Data's bike, sister. Yeah.
And that's why he slides over. He comes across like from his right. house to their
It was
house.
This watch yeah. for me yeah. as well, yeah. Ron. I was like, oh, he lives next door. Wait, he lives really? Next door.
Yeah, I never yeah, picked up yeah. on that before.
Just but, thought he home alone. Did
wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their background is, but I mean, you know, part of the podcast that I'm on talks about representation all the time, and there is a little bit where they speak in a different language, and mm-hmm. I think watching that this time, I never really noticed it before, but like I really appreciated it that it's just a little moment, but one mm-hmm. as far as representation goes, and then two, just like it makes it that much more believable because you know they speak to each other mm-hmm. the way they would yeah. at home, and that's kind of like it yeah. adds just that little bit more of a dash of warmth to it.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, do we have anything else that we want to discuss?
A couple things about so the pirate ship. Was
oh, yeah.
a whole like they built a whole pirate ship, and they after the movie was over, you would think that they would keep an entire like pirate ship, but they completely dismantled it because nobody they didn't know what to do with it. So Marcy, during when 70mm did Poltergeist, we were talking about the bit in the pool with the skeletons. So
oh yeah,
same time period. This like those were real skeletons. So One-Eyed Willie and all the other skeletons, those were actual.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, those were actual human skeletons. And Richard Donner, until he passed away last year, had One-Eyed mm-hmm. Willie's skull in his office.
Oh my gosh! What? Why? I always knew that about Poltergeist, and that scene always bothers me. So now I'm going to be so disturbed when they're on the pirate ship. Just
well,
going forward.
You could say anything like pre maybe 1990 that has skeletons in it. There's a good chance that it's actual human remains.
It's real
because it was yeah, it was a lot less it's expensive.
So, such than, a mind trip.
Does One-Eyed Willie translate as a penis joke to you?
Yes.
Yeah, good. I didn't know whether
it
that
didn't
was,
as a child.
Yeah, I was kind of like just whether that was a British reinterpretation of that name. What an odd choice that is. But I've always appreciated it.
The other name that always makes me laugh is Chester yes. Copperpot, right? That's like Chester Copperpot. And like Data remembering who he was, like, yeah, that's Chester Copperpot. They're like, no, it's not. And then they have to like dig out this wallet.
And how bad an explorer must he be? He literally fell at the first obstacle. like that's bad. How are you an expert explorer? You've gone in the tunnel and then died straight away.
So I have a question, though, specifically for Dirk.
Great. That's me.
Because... You two were on an episode of Rank Kings recently.
Mm-hmm.
The topic of a movie about pirates came up.
Sure.
And Dirk went on a little bit of a rant saying, I believe, quote, who wants to watch a movie about pirates?
Correct.
So how do you feel about this movie and its glorification of pirates?
What a good question, Ron. And you've really challenged my own personal beliefs there on cinema. I think because we don't actually see pirates being pirates... And it's just a means to get some gold. And also, really, he's more of a goonie than a pirate. Like, I love Mikey's little private speech he has with him at the end where he just kind of whispers yeah. to him, you know, you're expecting me, weren't you? And then he sort of whispers, you're a goonie or something like that, doesn't he? You're the first goonie. He's a goonie. He's a goonie who's named after a penis. So what's not to love about about One-Eyed Willie? I think but it's kind of that... It's the ultimate childhood adventure where you find a map, you go on, you go searching for treasure, and there's obstacles that include things like a water slide. That's just like pure heroin for a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old, that you go on an adventure with a water slide involved, and then that brilliant pirate ship at the end. And it is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with the pirate ship. It's just I'm not interested in seeing pirates do pirate stuff, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, I get that.
Is that appeased
yeah. you? Speaking of that, yeah, yeah. I was just curious. Speaking of that water slide, though, that, you know, that functioning water slide,
yeah.
at the end of the day, when they would send the kids home, Richard Donner and the crew would get drunk and go on that water slide
yes.
all night.
Oh, my gosh.
Well played, Richard.
Yeah. And apparently Harrison Ford really showed up and did it with them, too.
Did he?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The dream. The dream.
The one thing about Richard Donner that I think he was lined up to do an X-Men film at one point. I think he was.
He produced the first one. Lauren Shuler Donner, his wife, produced, I think, all of the X-Men.
Oh, really?
Movies.
I would have loved to have seen his X-Men, an X-Men film from him. Yeah, I think he can. He obviously knows how to handle like an ensemble cast, doesn't he?
And younger ensemble cast, if you want.
Yeah,
to
yeah. It, like, Marcy.
When everyone's
I'm feeling
out.
It. Yeah. I'm feeling it mm-hmm. right now.
I would love to talk about an X-Men movie with you too.
Oh, that would be great.
The two of you, Mikey P.
Yeah.
Talking about Wolverine.
Talking about any of them. Mikey's big into X-Men, as you probably know.
All right, I got one more did you know, and I'll leave it at that. Do you know what day this takes place on?
No, I don't actually.
So there are a couple clues throughout the movie. There's a calendar and a newspaper. The calendar that it has shows the date Friday, October 25th. There's a newspaper from Thursday, October 24th, 1985, and then Mouth says that today is Saturday, which would make it October 26th, 1985. Do you know why that date is significant?
Is it Back to the Future?
It is Back to the Future. It takes place on the same day as Back to the Future.
I'm loving it. That is
Steven Spielberg.
That is another warm blanket film, I think, Back to the Future. I could have easily chosen Back to the Future.
Me too. Yeah, that was on my short list. Yeah.
And we've almost done Back to the Future once or twice, I think, as well, haven't we?
Oh, fantastic. I would love to hear you guys talk about that.
Yeah. So good. Thanks. I did not know that, Ron.
Oh, Ron, maybe we should. Yeah, Ron, we should have you on for Back to the Future then. Okay, write that down. Write that down. Save that. Save that little gem for that. I just really have fun watching this movie. And ever since I started watching it in college, I think I watch it once a year. So I hadn't yet this year, Ron. So this kind of worked out perfectly. And I feel like in a weird sort of way, it really is good to watch between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or maybe just like a little bit before Thanksgiving. I just feel like it is a really good fall movie. And but also there's something about it that makes it feel magical, like Christmas, if that makes sense. I don't know how to explain it better. So thank you, Ron, because I've just been really busy. I've been in a movie rut, as you well know, and it's just been nice to like, there we go. There's my annual watch. And then to get to talk to you about it and you share why you love it. And it just, you know, it made this year's viewing like very special for me. So thank you, Ron.
Yeah. Thank you guys for asking me. For bringing me on.
Ron, it's been an absolute privilege because, you know, we are indebted to you. We are indebted to you, I would say, Ron, for just emailing us that first time, because you think you sent such a lovely message to us the very first time. And it kind of, I don't know if it reinvigorated us, but it certainly made us feel reassured that, you know, there was something interesting about our conversations and to carry on. And also the use of the music, which I don't know even know why we hadn't even thought of that, because that's just genius, isn't it? It's genius. And that's become obviously a big part of what we do here. So thank you. And in fact, why don't we do that now? Have you got, Ron, a song that you would pair with The Goonies?
So I do. I actually, it took me a little bit to think about it. And then Marcy and I were talking about favorite concerts that we've been to a couple of days ago, and it dawned on me, I don't know why I didn't think of this song before this, but I'm glad that it sparked it before we actually had this conversation. So one of my favorite bands, the one that I've seen probably more than any other, is a band called the Ataris. They're probably most famous for doing a cover of Don Henley's The Boys of Summer in 2003. On that same album, the opening track is a song about kind of like letting go of childhood and reminiscing about, you know, being a kid and some of the misadventures that you may or may not have gotten up to. And it references bits of The Goonies. Ooh. And Chris Rowe, the singer, even says the line, this is my wish and I'm taking it back. I'm taking them all back. So the song is called So Long Astoria, from an album of the same name.
Oh, wow.
And, it might be a little bit cheating, but...
No.
I think it fits perfectly. You know, it's not about the movie, but it was definitely inspired by the same vibes. It's a song that's got Amblin vibes, for sure.
When you hear some of the rubbish we come up with, that is not cheating in the slightest. That is bang on the money. Even, what is it called? Welcome to Astoria? What is it?
So Long, Astoria.
So Long, Astoria. Yeah, because that's where they live in it. Astoria. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I can't wait to listen to that. And I also love anything branded Atari. I'm a big Atari fan.
Yeah. Me too, yeah.
This is why we should have saved Ron for last. For
some Oh, yes. Well, what we'll do, we'll put that in after me and you have said, and we'll put that in at the end. Okay? Okay. Just do that. Just do that.
No, I love. I always love your guys' song picks. It introduces me to a ton of new stuff.
I'm not sure how you'll feel about this week, Ron. Let's just say that.
Is it another Elbow song?
It's not. Do you know what? It's not, but it could have been. Every film could link back to Elbow if I really tried. I did struggle a little bit with it. I did struggle, but then I had a moment of clarity in that there is a band, I don't know if they made it over to America, called The Fratellis. They're actually called The Fratellis. Yeah. And they're this,
I was wondering if they were going to go.
Yeah, and they are a sort of Scottish indie pop punk band. And so the song that they have that is played at all the darts matches over here and has a bit of energy to it, that feels like the Goonies would be going down a water slide, is Chelsea Dagger. So that's what I've gone for. I take it you know them then.
I'm familiar with them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know that I know that song, but I'm familiar
you'll
with
it. You'll know it's the famous one.
They're more of like a one-hit wonder over here, but I imagine they're way bigger over there. But yeah, Fratellis were pretty hot for, I don't know, maybe, I'm trying to think what age I was when that all, probably high school.
That tracks.
So my song just kind of has the theme of pirates and One-Eye Willie and all that good stuff. And I do apologize because my song is 9 minutes long. But maybe, Ron, maybe you know this song. I picked the Mariners' Revenge Song by the Decemberists because that song just makes me so happy. It is so funny. They're telling a story. It's kind of just like reminiscent of the Goonies, where it's just like, but it is all like nautical themed, this whole song. And it just, I don't know, when I was trying to think of something for this movie, I was like, oh yeah, it's gotta be this, because just singing about being a sailor and all that stuff. And it just made me think of like the treasure and the pirate ship, because I, you know, like the pirate ship is like just such a, yeah, it is heartbreaking that they like tore it apart or whatever, but man, it's just such a beautiful thing to behold.
Ooh, yeah. And
Ron, that's right. We got to send you Mikey's art.
I was just going to say, let's do it now, live on air.
Okay. Yeah, let's do a live reaction. We're going to send you Mikey's art.
Not going to lie, that factored into my decision of what movie to do.
Let me just, where is it? There we go. It's coming.
Oh.
Look at that.
Mikey P, that's incredible.
Look at that. Mikey, could kiss you on your mouth. It's so good. So good, the art.
I love all the little Easter eggs he puts into his stuff, too.
Yeah.
Beautiful. With the little headphones on. Well, you will see that art when you listen to this episode. So you better have listened to it to see that art. That's all I'm saying. Okay? Well, Marcy, I can't wait to listen to that 9 minute song. I'll have to wait for when I've got a spare minute. Well, 9 of them, I suppose, to be more accurate. Yep. But I think I've heard the Decemberists before. I've heard of them. I like. So there we go. That's good, isn't it?
This is just surreal that, like, Ron, you started all of this, and it's just cool that you get to finally, like, be on here and pick a song for the movie and everything, so.
Yeah, cool. I'm stoked. Oh, I always pick a song along with you guys, too, so, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. You should just tell us what it is. I'd be interested to hear what you pick every week, so please, if you, like, have them stored away somewhere, please share
that
with us.
I'll send you guys a playlist, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome, Ron. I love this.
We live for playlists. So playlists make the world go round.
I love it.
But if you have ever had Michael Jackson come use your bathroom, why not write in to us here at The Movie Mixtape? Our email address is themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com. And we have an Instagram account at _moviemixtape. And we post all of Mikey's art on there, and then some really nice alternative movie posters that we see for the films that we're covering. And then have some sort of like questions and stuff in our story. So there's stuff happening on there. It's not a dead account or anything. Definitely sign up for that and follow us there. But we do got an email this week. Here it is. I'm going to start reading it because he introduces himself, spoilers, in the first sentence. Hey there, Movie Mixtape. It's Dime here. First time writer, long time listener. And when I mean writer, I mean writing an email to the pod. Not that this is the first time writing, because that would be crazy. That would be insane, Dime. Although a lot of people use computers these days and you can type anything you like and then whisper to your fingers. Anyways, I heard that you guys are covering The Goonies with Ron! I want to first say that I got to meet Ron a couple of weeks ago when recording on Real Latinos, which was a blast. We mentioned that, didn't we? You mentioned that earlier, the Wakanda Forever episode.
Yeah.
Ron is an...
Dime's a real good guy.
Ron, well, hold on. He says, Ron is an awesome dude. Ooh, he feels like you feel about him. So I know this is going to be a great ep. I saw this movie for the first time some years ago, and I think because I didn't grow up watching it, it doesn't hold a special place in my heart. Right, well, I'm not reading the rest. But what I can appreciate is that this is a very fun movie with a great showcase of friendship. Like, who wouldn't want to have an adventure like this? Exactly, Dime. Who wishes they had friends like this group? Exactly, Dime. If it wasn't for this movie, I don't know if we would have seen something like Stranger Things created. Well, yes, exactly, Dime. To wrap this up, Dirk, Marcy, Mikey P, I love the movie mixtape. You three are doing amazing things and covering some really fantastic movies. Congrats on all the success, Dime. Well, Dime, thanks very much. I think success is a very strong word, but we've certainly got content.
It's so funny. It's like Dime heard our conversation and then wrote in. So like he literally touched on like everything we brought up today, and that's just perfect. Like, Dime, you get it. You get it. And maybe one day the Goonies will be a special place in your heart.
It doesn't have to be, does it? Because we're all unique individuals inhabiting this rock that's orbiting the sun. Don't worry about it, Dime. We love you. We appreciate your contact. Why don't you tell us, Dime, what your favorite warm blanket movie would be? That would be good. We'd like to know that, what everybody's sort of different warm blanket movies are. But Ron, what have you got to say to that? Him saying you're an awesome dude.
The feeling is definitely mutual. Dime is a real, real cool guy, and I hope that we get to hear more of him soon. We were kind of trying to push him in a certain direction, so I hope he took the bait and runs
really?
With it.
Really? Interesting. Oh, everybody's cool. A podcast enabler, you know?
Especially our group, our little Goonie group. Yeah, definitely. Oh, well, we did get a recent Apple iTunes review that I'd like to read, and it is also from another fellow Goonie in our group, KK. So I'm just gonna read that really quick. He says, D&M, which I imagine means Dirk and Marcy, are masters of the craft, effortlessly slinging words back and forth and bringing you to a greater love of your most beloved movies. So thank you, KK. We really appreciate the
KK
review.
You want to kiss me on my mouth now? Is that what's gonna happen? Because that can be arranged. Thank you. I could not overstate this, that if somebody takes the time to do a review or even sticks like 5 stars on Spotify or something, me and Marcy do a little dance over a video call with each other. That is something that happens, isn't it, Marcy?
I mean, we definitely do celebrate. We're like, we got another
with a dance.
One. It's like
with a
Thor
dance.
In the first Thor movie. Another! Like, throw down a mug.
So be cool like KK and leave us a review.
Well, Ron, thank you so much. I think this is the perfect way to end the warm blanket mix, too. I don't know. What makes you feel better than the Goonies, you know? Like, I watched it earlier today. My mom came over to help me with some things. I was like, hey, I'm just going to put this on. And she's like, okay. And my mom got all excited, too. So we had some fun today watching that together. So thank you, Ron, for picking this. Thank you for coming on. We definitely need you back on for Back to the Future. But anytime you want to come back on or you have some fun idea, please, like, you're more than welcome always.
Oh, I had such a great time talking to you, too. You know, you mentioned that, you know, you don't know if it's a success. You just make content. But if you touch even one person, it's a success.
Beautiful.
I'm proof that you've definitely at least touched one person. And I'm sure that I'm far from the only one.
Thank you,
I know from talking to other people that we're friends with that I'm far from the only person that the two of you have touched. So correct me if I'm wrong. I know I'm not the first guest on the show, but to the best of my knowledge, all the other guests you knew before you started the show through like various Discords or whatever. I believe I might be the first guest that was actually a fan first before I like joined any kind of online community and actually met you two. So
I think you're right, Ron.
That kind of makes me feel pretty special. It's like when I started listening to you two, the feeling that I got was it's like when you know, you go to like the same cafe or diner or whatever for lunch, like the same day every week. And, you know, you sit at the same table, eat the same food. And there's this pair of people that are sitting a couple tables over. They're there every week. You can tell they've always came from the movie theater because they're always talking about movies. And, you know, you sit there and you like listen to their conversation and you think like, oh, you know, like these people sound really fun. And like you think, you know, every now and then, maybe you might want to like chime in or like, you know, like say hello as you're going in. And then one day they invite you over to sit at their table with them. So thank you too for inviting me to sit at your table and chat with you guys about movies. It means a lot to me.
Well, ugly crying.
I think we've just, you're officially our social media ambassador now, Ron. Okay. It's a paid position.
I'm the last person you want handling social media. I know nothing about social media.
Oh, no, that's great. That's perfect. That's exactly what we need. So you got it.
As you found
out
before we started recording, we know nothing about anything. But Ron, my goodness. I don't know. I meant when I said before, like when you sent that first message, I don't know. We both felt really honored and special and privileged to receive it, and just to get to know you and to share something with you is exactly why we were doing the podcast. It's not for hot takes and likes and stuff like that. It really is to get to know each other and to get to know other people and share what we love. So perfect, absolutely perfect.
Yeah, thank you, Ron, so much for everything. Like you are part of this found family, like you were saying in the beginning. You're part of the mixtape family, and you have.
But sadly, Kablasto is also part of that family, so you may want
to. You may have to bunk with him every once in a while.
There's one in every family.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Kablasto, should we warn everybody now that Kablasto is making his return next week, but. I'm very excited because, Dirk, I don't know, you kind of like came up with this really cool idea for our next mix. So why don't you tell?
Is a festive season coming up and everybody's going to be doing Christmas movies and things like that. And we're definitely doing a big Christmas movie next week. But the main theme is giving a gift to each other in cinema form. So often when we're doing the mixtape, you know, I'm trying to pick a movie that Marcy hasn't seen, and Marcy's trying to pick a movie probably that pushes my idle boundaries, like Pride and Prejudice and Roman Holiday and stuff like that. But why not just say, why don't the present to ourselves be just pick a movie that we just absolutely love and just want to talk about regardless of whoever's seen it or whatever. So that's what we're going to do. But also the Christmas present that we've got next week is a Muppets Christmas Carol that we're going to do with Kablasto, because in our little chats that we have all together, we found a kinship with the Muppets, and particularly we all love the Christmas Carol, and I think, spoilers, it's all our favorite Christmas movie. So that is our present to our friendship, that we are going to talk about that together next week.
Oh yeah, I cannot wait to hear Kablasto and Muppet talk. It's just going to be so good.
Well, there we go. All done. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. I just feel so good right now. I that's exactly how I want to feel after each chat and every time I watch a Warm Blanket movie. So great success.
Go check out Real Latinos with Ishmael Guti and Ron.
Yes.
It's so good, and you will be informed. Mm-hmm. I was informed always as an ignorant cinema goer about all these wonderful movies. Yeah, so thanks, Ron. And we'll hopefully speak to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. It's been an honor.
Please come back soon, Ron. Please. This was so much fun. And we will see everybody next week. Kablasto will be with us. It will be fine. It'll be a great time. And we had a good time on Alien. So catch you all next week. And bye.
Suck on that, you suckers.
Exactly.
Mixtape is a podcast hosted by Dirk and Marcy, mixed and edited by me. Our logo comes from Iron Tooth Design. Find us on Instagram at the_moviemixtape and catch new episodes on Wednesdays. Thanks for listening. Bye!